we've been talking about these things because if you really read the New Testament church, the book of Acts, the first church started in homes. They started with moms and dads and kids and grandmas and their little ones and with the singles. And so I want to make sure that we bring the discipleship and we bring the burden off the church and we put it back into the home because that's where it started. And over time, and as time has gone on, we have given the responsibility of discipleship, of prayer, of witnessing, and all these things to the church, but really it belongs in the home. And so today we're going to be talking about witnessing and what does that mean for our lives.
And I'm pretty excited about talking about witnessing, and we've had opportunities to do that in our own home. But I grew up and I had a really great model of what that looked like, a couple that was in a church, discipled me, and ultimately presented the gospel to me. So I'm excited that this is the topic that we're talking about today, because it's not just for Travis and I, it's not just for the pastors on staff, but it's for each of us. And whatever life stage you're in, wherever you are in your life, single or not, you have the opportunity to use your home as a witness for Jesus. Amen?
That's good. I want to read to you two scriptures. One is first found in Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. It says this, that then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16 says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven." We've been talking about this scripture, especially Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. No, it's a powerful piece of scripture because Jesus is talking to his disciples, but he's hoping that everyone else is hearing his message. Before this passage of scripture, he's talking about the salt. We are the salt of the world. But then he goes into us being the light of the world. And he begins to talk about and give the people an image that a lot of people are familiar with in that day in Eastern Palestine. Because in that day, when it was night out, you could know where you're going by looking at the towns on the hill. Because in those days, cities or towns, they were not tall buildings with lights and things like that. But they were a cluster of homes that had lamps in it, right? And so what Jesus is saying is that our homes are to be like those homes. Our homes are to light up the dark of the mountainside. And I just want to encourage you today that as we continue to talk about witnessing and becoming a Great Commission home, that we begin to realize that our home is to light up the darkness.
And I think an even greater picture of that, too, is what I think about is lighthouses. And when you see a lighthouse, it's usually by a big body of water. And what they're used for is for navigation. It's also used to warn people of upcoming danger. The boaters that are boating, it's warning them of the danger up ahead. And I think that's what we're called to. I think we're called as the church, as Christians, to be, like Travis said, a light in our communities, a lighthouse in our communities, where we are guiding people and leading them with the gospel and helping them walk in this journey, but also warning them of upcoming danger before they make a mistake, before they make a poor decision. I think that's who we're called to be.
Yeah, that's good. And going back to that scripture, you know, we are the light of the world. Jesus is saying, hey, you don't put a light under a bowl. And the reason why you don't do it, because the light has no effectiveness if you do so. And the bottom line of that passage of scripture, what Jesus is trying to say is that you exists for the world. Your home exists for the world. Your home wasn't just a place for you to kind of gather together, get some rest, and just have your own little family, your own, or if you're by yourself. But your home was made to shine a light in a dark world. And we want to make sure that we're on mission. Pastor Sean been talking about this idea is that when you are on mission, you discover a hidden treasure that other people don't discover. And so we want to kind of continue to flesh that out today, looking at a couple points. But before we do that, Brittany, a lot of people think that, hey, you know, my home can't be a Great Commission home. My home can't witness the light of Jesus into the world around it, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, for us, I mean, Travis is a pastor, and I know it's easy for us to look at pastors and people in leadership like, well, they got it all together, and they have... We don't always have it all together.
We do not.
I promise you, we don't always have it all together.
Especially her, but we're going to pray for her. We're working on her.
I think I'm pretty amazing, but whatever. But for the... See? For those of you who may be in the room that may think, you know what, I'm not in a big leadership role, this message is for all of us. We were all called. If you are a Bible-believing Christian, you're living for the Lord, you are called to be light in a dark world. Pastor Brandon was talking about it when we were doing worship. We are called to be a light in darkness, no matter what it looks like, no matter who you are, no matter what life stage you're in. Our house is on top of this hill, and everyone hates driving up our driveway because they get stuck. But our house is the most noticeable in our community because it's the only house on top of a hill, and I think that's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the house that everyone knows this is where the Holy Spirit is. I work in Shady Hill, and my office is in one of the trailers, and the kids call the trailer the church trailer. And I believe they call the trailer the church trailer because they know that's where the Holy Spirit is. That's exactly where they come. I don't talk about church there. We don't have church service there, but they come and they call it the church trailer. So on every flyer, they see the church trailer because that's where light is in that community. So that's what we're called to be.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that you know that this message is for everyone. You could be an empty nester in here. You could be a single person in here. You could be divorced. You could be a single parent in here. You could be just living by yourself. You could be in college and have a roommate in here. You could be a family that has kids in here. No matter what life stage you find yourself in, your home is supposed to be a home that witnesses the light of Jesus Christ in the world around us. And I love it because I got good news for you. For those of you who are nervous about this message because this is not in your kind of your scheme, or you're not really a witnesser, you're not really like to talk to people, or you're an introvert, whatever, I got good news for you. You're not shining your light. We're shining God's light. Because Jesus says this. Jesus says that I am the light of the world. And so when we talk about the idea of our homes being a lighthouse, we are not shining our own light because we don't have it together. No, if Brittany and I kind of, you know, talk about what we're going through and talk about our story and talk about us and not bring Christ in it, our story is just not as good as Christ's story.
And that should take the pressure off. Because
yes.
It's not about us. It's about him anyway. So
sure.
Even if you're not a good speaker, if you don't have the right things to say, it's not about you anyway. It's about God.
You know, one of my first times we ever, I think the second time we met, it was the second youth service. We were in high school. The first service I saw her, it was at a youth service. She was praising God in the front aisle. And I saw this pretty girl. I said, maybe I should go in the front altar and praise God too, you know? It was just, you know, that's just kind of what we did. You know, it was in high school when we first started dating. So, but anyways, our second service, I'll never forget because you had a beige shirt on. You had some flip-flops on. You weren't matching that day, but it's all good. I give you. So anyway, so we were, second service, our youth pastor preached a sermon. I don't know if you remember this. And he often said, we are the moon and Jesus is the sun. Like the moon doesn't produce its own light. But the moon, it reflects the light of the sun in the midst of the darkness. And I always, remember that sermon?
I'll let that pass since you had this great illustration.
Okay, good. So we want to talk about next point. So here's the main idea for the day. The main idea is this. Great Commission Home witnessed the light of Jesus to his family, friends, and neighbors. Great Commission Homes witness the light of Jesus to his family, friends, and neighbors. And a question that we pray that every single person asks yourselves in your home and your family today is your home a lighthouse? Is your home a place where people know that's where Jesus reigns? Is your home a place that people want to be and people are being discipled and changed because of your home? No matter what stage you are today, is your home a lighthouse? So we're going to be talking about what is witnessing. Witnessing is a person who testifies of an event. That's what witnessing is, a person who kind of talks about, testifies an event or a situation.
And it's about telling your story. And like Travis talked about, it's really not our story, it's Jesus' story, but he gets to use you. And so we're telling our story. And in Revelation, it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's the word. And so we can use what God has done in us. What has God done in the individuals in your home? Every person in your home has a specific story. And how can you tell that story to the world around you?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, sometimes, you know, when Brittany and I doesn't have anything to do, we like watching Law and Order, right? And that's one of our favorite shows. And we often sometimes in the middle of a trial or a case, they call upon a witness. And it's this special witness that some of the people didn't know about, or the defense didn't know that the people who were prosecuting the case had this special witness. Because a special witness has insight of a particular event that the world didn't have preview to, right? And us, as witnesses of the gospel of Jesus, we had an insight of what God can do in the lives of people. And I love it because the idea of us being a witness, we're saying this: I have witnessed God do amazing things in my life, and he can do it for you as well. And that's being a witness of God.
And we're not only sharing our story and telling people about the things that God has done in our life, but we're also to be mindful of what we are witnessing. What are we seeing? What are the things that we're looking at? Are we paying attention to the world around us enough where we should be able to grieve over the needs of the people around you? The world around us, as we know now, is falling apart. There's things that are happening that didn't happen 10 years ago. And those are the things that God doesn't want us to run away and hide from, but we're to pay attention to those things so that we can pray and we can share Jesus with the people around us.
Yeah, and so what Brittany's talking about, I think, is the third point on your thing. The third point is witnessing is paying attention to the brokenness of this world. You know, a lot of times we think, you know, we just want to witness the good things of life. We don't witness our family growing up and all those things. And sometimes we ignore the brokenness of this world. But becoming an effective witness of Christ, and if our homes are going to shine the light of Christ, if our homes are going to be lighthouses, we cannot ignore the brokenness of this world. You know, I think about the Good Samaritan. You know, there was a priest and a Levite that passed this guy on the side of a road who was broken and in need, and they chose not to witness the brokenness of this man. But then came along a Good Samaritan. You know, I'm sure he had things to do. I'm sure he had to get to the kids, or maybe he had to get home to cook or whatever. I'm not sure what he was going to do. I'm not sure where he was going, but he chose not to ignore the brokenness that was right on his way home. And I just, as a lighthouse and as Great Commission homes, we must make the decision and make the choice and be intentional about not ignoring the brokenness of this world. You know, Brittany was homeschooled in high school. And so oftentimes we know a lot of homeschool families and we love them so much. And we know a lot of families that send their school to public school. And whatever the calling that you have in your life, we want to make sure that you're not protecting your kids from seeing the brokenness of this world, because when they see brokenness, they have an opportunity to see how God can bring healing in brokenness. And so this is why the Good Samaritan chose not to ignore, but he chose to witness brokenness. And part of being a witness is witnessing the brokenness of this world. Going back to point two.
What are people witnessing? We're called to be something, not just do something. God has called each of us to be something and someone to somebody else. And we're called to be that person, and we're called to show people what's going on in our home. And I think for Travis and I mean, there's kids, teenagers in our house all the time. And there's a particular student that is basically lives in our home throughout the week, and she gets to see the good, the bad, the very pretty and the not so pretty. And sometimes I think we try to pretend like we have this perfect, picture-perfect world, but what are people seeing? I mean, she gets to see how we handle life together as a couple.
Like
and it's healthy.
Arguments, I mean, stuff like
Yeah, I mean, our arguments, they're not really. But she gets to watch us be healthy. And I think that's what the world needs to see. But what are they seeing? Are they seeing my amazing husband do those 20 loads of laundry that he promised he'd do? And I want you all to come over and
watch. We'll go to the next point. Point four. There is no point four, man. Yeah, the idea is that being a witness is more than about just doing something. It's being something. You know, I think the best way that we can witness and be the light of Jesus in our homes and to the homes around us is being great people. It's being good husbands. It's being good wives, good kids, great roommates. And it's important for us to know that when people see us, like we pray that they see Christ. I love what the scripture says in this passage in Matthew 5. It says this. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. And as a result of your good deeds and you have an integrity in your life, and they will glorify the Father in heaven. It's the idea is that we are to imagine as if our homes are like a huge screen and the crowd is watching our home. And when they watch our home, and when they watch our marriages, and they watch how we treat each other, our spouses, and how we treat our kids, and how we forgive them, and we are real patient with them, when they watch us, we pray that they may see him and not us. And that's being an effective witness for Christ. And, you know, I think about that all the time. You know, when, you know, Brittany and I, we didn't grow up in a perfect situation. I grew up in a single-parent home. My mother had a job. She worked in the FBI, and whenever it was Christmas time, she would get a second job at Dillard's to make sure we could have Christmas presents for the kids. Think about Brittany. Brittany's story is she grew up in a home where her father was shot and murdered at the age of 3, and she grew up in a home where her parents were doing drugs, and we didn't have that in our homes. And we are so grateful for our lives now that we get to reflect what the gospel of Christ can do, how he can bring someone who didn't have a father in his home, a girl who didn't have a father or a mother in her home, who can bring wholeness to her life.
And I think it's safe to say that for the both of us, someone had to open up their home to minister to us, for us to see a good model of what it's supposed to be like to have a Christian home. And so we're saying all of this, and we're preaching this message about being witnesses, but that's you. You could be that for somebody. You know, when I grew up, I did have someone who took me into their home and really discipled me and taught me how to be a good wife and how to be a mom and how to clean my house and how to do laundry. And so those are the things. Being a witness doesn't mean you have to sit down and open up your Bible and have a Bible study every day with every neighbor. It's just showing your life, because if you are a follower of Christ, your life reflects Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're to reflect Jesus. All the good that you do is not just good for you. It's for the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. And you know, our first experience when we moved here, So we got all type of flack of, why are you moving to Virginia? We lived in Orlando, beautiful palm trees, everything, right? And so we moved here, right? And I think there was an earthquake that happened, right? Yes, yeah, it was an earthquake that happened.
It was a hurricane.
Right before we came. And then there was a hurricane. And so everyone we knew was like, dude, if God's not speaking to you, you're not hearing him, all right? Don't move to Virginia. So we moved here.
I'm pretty sure Trav did say, I don't know if that's the Lord saying, don't go.
So we moved here, and so our house had no power, right? And so we had to stay at the Warwick's home, Patton and Dawn Warwick, right? And we got to watch their lives.
We didn't want to leave. If you've ever been to their house, it's
and
amazing.
And so I just want to say, you know, I just want to say thank you, because you just ministered the gospel by cooking those good food for me. I just want to say thank you, brother. But his home was a lighthouse, right? His home was a lighthouse, and here's why. Because he chose to use the gifts, we're going to talk about this later, he chose to use the gifts and talents that he had and that she has so that they can minister to other people. I just want to make sure that you are being intentional about your home being a lighthouse. Because that's a great commission home. That's a home that's on mission. And we're trying to get you to think differently about witnessing. Because witnessing is not an individual thing, but it's a home thing. It's something that we do as a home. So when a guy goes to work and he witnesses to his coworker, it's a result of the home praying for an opportunity to witness to his coworker. When we go to the movies and we go to the grocery store, it's the result of praying as a home that, God, would you give us an opportunity to share our faith? This is not an individual thing. Witnessing has never been meant to be an individual thing. It was meant to be started and ended in the home. And so being a great witness is more than about just doing something. It's about being something. So we want to give you a few ways of how do you know if your home is a home that witnesses?
Number one, when people want to be in your home, they actually have to want to be there. You make a place where they want to be there. One of the prayers that we prayed when we just bought our home, like I said, it's on top of a hill, but one of the prayers that we prayed for our home was that it would be a place of peace. When people walk into our home, because we have some dysfunctional family and friends that come over and people that may not know the Lord, we want them to walk into our home and sense the peace of Jesus. And so that was our prayer. God, we just want you to make this place a place of peace. And so people have come over, and the first thing they say when they walk in is, this is so peaceful. It's a result of us praying specifically and being very intentional about our home, and it's a place where people want to come when there's need.
Yeah, it's the idea that, man, I just want to go over there because I just love hanging out with them. Like, I think about Lil and Roger Loaf. Like, you know, you should go to their house. They live right over there, right by Walmart and Stonebridge. They're going to kill me for that, but I'll do your laundry too, okay? I think about going to their house, and, you know, it's just such a peaceful place. I just want to be there. Like, sometimes they just got to kick me out, you know, because I just want to be there a lot. And I just feel like sometimes, like, we just got to have our homes. Like, man, I just like going over there, hanging out with those guys. They're just cool people, you know? And that's how you know your home is a home that witnesses, is people just want to be there. You don't have a home where you're judging people, but you got a home that you're just loving on people. You're just encouraging people. People leave your home encouraged. They leave your home filled with a little bit more love, a little bit more just oomph to face life.
And number two, the people in your home are aware of the needs around it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's talking about the ideas that, hey, like, everyone in your home knows that the person down the street needs prayer because she's going through a hard time, right? You know your home is a home that witnesses, where you are aware that people in your home are aware of people in your family or in your neighborhood or in your community that say, hey, man, this person's going through a lot. We got to do something about this. Like, you're not just ignoring the needs around you, but everyone in the home is aware that, hey, this is something that we got to take care of because this is a problem in our community or in our neighborhood.
And number three, prayers for the lost and hurting people occur. For us, we have two little girls, and every night before bed, we say their bedtime prayers and things like that. But Jalen will always chime in with her own specific prayer, and it's usually for a friend, typically Jody. I don't know if she knows her needs, but we make sure that our kids know that there are people outside of our home that need Jesus, and we need, it's our job to pray for them. And so that needs to occur in each of our households, whether you have kids or not, whether you live by yourself. Be intentional about spending time praying for your neighbors. Be intentional about praying for your president. Be intentional about praying for your community. It's important. If you want to see change, you got to start with praying.
Amen. So, yeah, like, we just want to make sure that we're praying, right? And you know your home is a good commission home, a great commission home that witnesses. That's when you're talking about the lost, when you're praying, say, God, would you give us an opportunity to witness to our daughter, to share the light of Christ to her because she don't know you? Would you give us an opportunity to witness to my uncle, my niece, or this whoever in your home or your community that needs Christ? You have an opportunity through prayer.
Number four, when everyone in your home is being challenged to draw closer to God.
You want to expound on that, Britt?
Yeah, I mean, it's important that I think about the teenagers that we get to minister to weekly. We want to make sure that Trav and I, it's not our job to come in here and preach to them and then force them to study the word. I think, like we talked about earlier, that discipleship starts at home. And I think when you have a great commission home and you're intentional about praying, you're intentional about reaching the lost, you're intentional about spending time with the Lord, with your family and with your kids and with the people in your household, then they draw closer to God. And in turn, they come here and it spreads. And I think when it talks about everyone in your home is being challenged to follow God, you're being challenged when you're stirred up, when you're praying, when you see the needs of your community, when you're constantly talking about others and not just yourself.
That's good. And the last point is this. When there is a common goal in the home, like when everyone knows what they're about. And so when we're in a season of wedding season, and so doing a lot of marriage counseling, and you know, one of the things I tell all the couples when we do the marriage counseling, I say, come with 10 commandments that your home is going to be all about. Like, write your 10. Like, when people read your 10, they know, hey, this home is about this. So a couple of our 10 is that, hey, we're going to be a home that encourages. Another one is we're going to be a home that forgives. One of our main ones is that we're going to be a home that's on mission for the Great Commission. Because, you know, I think about Pastor Sean, he's dropping off Rachel for college and all that stuff, and I just begin to, you know, just be kind of in my feelings because my daughters are getting old now, and I was a little sad. She's 5, and she's going into kindergarten, and it's just kind of breaking my heart. It's rough. Y'all be praying for me, all right?
He definitely, I think, cried last night.
Yeah, I sure did. I really did, thinking about it. So, but anyway, so I've been thinking about this, you know, and I've been saying, you know what, God, when my daughter walked across that stage and I drop her off at college, I pray that she knows that I did not just prepare her for college, but I prepared her to live out the Great Commission. Like, I prepared her to know that, hey, that's our goal. That's our commandment. That's our life statement. That's in our home. That's what we want to be about in our home. And you know you have a Great Commission home that witnesses where there is a common goal. And so I challenge just new couples and in the marriage council, I say, hey, what is your common goal? What are you going to be about? And I just think it's good. You know, we've been having, Pastor Sean's been challenged to have this one Great Commission moment a week as a home and as a family or whoever lives in your home. And it's about 15 minutes a week. I know our lives are busy and we're trying to become better disciples and not busier disciples. And we just want to make sure that that you guys take about 15 minutes a week and say, you know what, hey, and maybe your Great Commission time as a home could be this week and say, hey, what we want to be about as a home? What is our goal? What is our statement that we want to just nail it with our entire family in our home? And so we want to go into the last point is this. We're going to talk about 4 ways to bring witnessing into your home and become a lighthouse. These will be available to you as you leave today. And there's 4 practical ways of how you can bring witnessing to your home. The first one is this. Prayers for people who don't know Jesus. That's important. Like, we gotta just take some time to pray for the lost and pray for those who don't know Christ that we know, right? Secondly is this. It's using our gifts and interests that individuals in your home have to show the love of Jesus. Think about Romans 12, verse 6 through 8. It says, we all have different gifts. We all have different interests, right? And it's important that we use those things that God has given us to be a blessing, to be a witness to the world around us. So you want to go through some of those pictures for me? I'm going to highlight a couple couples in our church. This is Dan and Nancy Burt. I pray they're not here. Good, because I didn't ask them yet. And so this is Dan and Nancy Burt. Nancy, I'm not sure if any of you know her or have any relation to her. I'm sure you've been to her house. And I'm sure you had a meal at her house. And here's why. Because she loves to cook. And she used that gift of cooking, like, literally to serve a lot of people. Like, all the time, am I right? Like, we've had a lot of meals over there, and thank God for her. Bless them, Lord. But you know what? She's not going to be the person that's going to come up here and preach a sermon. She's not going to be up here and be all melodramatic in her presentations. But what she can do and how she can have her home be a lighthouse that she can use her gifts of cooking. You can go to the next picture. I think about Rebecca Crump. You know, is Rebecca here? Are you here? She's not. Rebecca. I didn't ask her either. I didn't ask any of these people. Rebecca, she's a single mom that have just 2 beautiful kids. And every Wednesday, you can see her serving, her kids here serving. I just love it because, you know, she don't have, you know, her life is not perfect. It's not great. But you know what? But she chooses to use her home to be a lighthouse to the world around her. You can go to another picture. I think about the Davises. Man, what a beautiful and great family. You know, they homeschool their kids, and they use their time, the free time that they have and the flexibility they have to have their home be a lighthouse. And every Wednesday night, those two, they come and serve in a ministry called Flight. And they reach out to students in the 5th grade and 6th grade, and they're just using their home to be a lighthouse. This is a dark world, and they choose to do that. I just want to just highlight that couple. And I think I got another picture. This is Red and Joyce Smith. Look at them. Don't they look good? They're upset. But, you know...
We love you.
But I think about Red and Joyce. So last year we had a great need for, you know, we have a lot of guys that like playing sports, right? And so Red and Joyce, you know, they're homeless. They got a lot of boys. They got Abby, and they're just a sports home, you know. And so what they chose to do is use their gifts and their season as an opportunity, right, to share and to be a blessing to people, right? And so what they did last year is that we started a basketball league for our community. So we got some other churches involved in this league, whatever. But Red and Joyce were like the main players of this league. They made sure the league happened. And here's why. Because they used their season. You know, they don't have any kids in their home. They use the flexibility of their season to be a blessing and have their home be a lighthouse to the world around it. And I share with you these couples because there's lots of people. We're in lots of stages in here. And I just pray that you may use your gifts or your interests to be a blessing to people. The second point is this. The third point is this. Using individuals in your home serving together. That's a practical way of being a lighthouse and having your home be a witness. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says this. Each of us has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, right? It's the idea that, hey, we can serve in maybe Shady Hill together once a month. You know, we can serve together and go into the soup kitchen. It was funny. I was at work the other day, and Brittany texted me a picture of, tell them about it. I don't know. I forgot.
So usually on Tuesdays, I take the girls to the library because they have story time. And this past week, Jalen wanted donuts, and who's going to turn down donuts? So I decided to take them to go get donuts. And instead of us just getting donuts for them to consume on their own, I decided that we were going to serve our community. So we grabbed a dozen donuts and took it to the police station. And Jalen had the opportunity to just share Jesus with her life. And she gave the police officer donuts, and he was so excited. And she was totally nervous about it. But it was a good teachable moment for me as a parent and as a home to say, this is how we serve. And, you know, she had her scripture verse for the week, and she knew the purpose of what she was doing, and she was to be a cheerful giver, and that's what she learned throughout that. But as a home, we decided that it's not all about us. We're going to serve our community as well.
I think about when we were in college and living in Lakeland, there's this guy named Joe Brandy, and he was a single adult, and so he was to use his home every Friday night to have movie night and have all the all the college students come over. And I just remember it being a blessing because he had movies and Mountain Dew. I just remember that. It was just lots of Mountain Dew and movies. But his home was a lighthouse, right? Because he used to say, you know what? Hey, I'm a single adult, but, you know, I'm choosing to use my home. I'm going to serve the people around me. And so what he could serve is Mountain Dew, right? And so I just think it's just for every season of life. And the last point is this. Discovering the unique season your home is in. So whether you are an empty nester and you have lots of flexibility, or if you are a family that has young kids, you can invite other kids over for play dates. Just whatever season that you find yourself in, use that season as an opportunity to become a lighthouse. It doesn't matter where you are in life together. And so, you know, I got a couple here, and you're going to get this after the service. A couple of them is, you got young kids in your home, you can use that. How can you reach other parents if you're a single mom or a dad? How could you reach other single parents? If you are an empty nester, how could you use the season to witness?
Well, and I think we've kind of discovered, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but we've kind of discovered the season that we're in our life. I mean, we reach out to teenagers every week, and we love it. That's what we do as a career, but it's also ministry, and kids are always at our home. However, we know that the Lord has called us to adopt. And so Travis and I just completed our classes to adopt. And we will probably this fall be adopting. And that's the way that I feel like we're using our home to be a light. We don't get to be that to so many kids in the world. I mean, I'm in Shady Hill every week, so I see the need. And so the season that we're in, it may look different for you, but the season we're in, we know that it's time for us to bring a child into our home that needs it. So that's what we are doing with our season. But it may look different for you. It may look like you starting a mom's group at your home. It may look like you doing a college group in your home. It may look totally different. But when we talk about using the season of life, if you have that flexibility, or maybe you don't have the flexibility, maybe you need to take your lunch hour at work and do a Bible study with people at work. Whatever that may look like, be intentional always about what you're doing with your time. Because that's the only way that you're going to be effective in your witnessing if you're very intentional about what you're using that time in your home for.
Amen. That's good. That's good. So what we're going to do, we just want to take a moment to do this, and we want to just talk about it. We want to be doers of the word. And so We'll take a moment just to pray for people we know that don't know Christ. And just have our Great Commission time be right now. And so would you just kind of close your eyes and bow your heads and just take a few minutes to pray for those who don't know you. Jesus, we thank you that you are the light of the world and you came in, and when we were in darkness, struggling, and even sometimes we still find ourselves in darkness, you always find a way to shine the light, to show us the way to you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that our homes, because you are in it, our homes may shine a light to the world around us, God. And Lord, we know that our homes exist for the world, exist to shine a light into the world. So, Lord, we pray that we may do so. Help us to use our gifts, our interests, Lord, our seasons of life, Lord Jesus. Help us to use those things to be a witness for Christ. Lord, we want our homes to be Great Commission homes, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to make sure that we end off with saying this. Is that last week, Pastor Sean said, you know, let's have a moment this week, 15 minutes, of worshiping. And this week, we want to say, could you have a moment of 15 minutes of witnessing? Could you have a moment as a home this upcoming week saying, you know what, hey, we want to shine bright for these 15 minutes. Rather be serving together, rather be praying, prayers for the lost. Some of you are great writers. You can maybe write some cards to people who don't know Christ and just encourage them. And with love. And I just want to ask you all to take a moment, you know, whether it be after dinner or before the day starts or whatever, just 15 minutes this week, just have a Great Commission time of witnessing the gospel of Jesus, the light of Christ. I want to encourage you to remind you all to, as we leave today, to get one of these handouts and just practical ways of how you can bring witnessing to your home. So could you all stand with us? We want to say the prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord of the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We ask you to send out the workers into your harvest field and cause us to go also and give you glory. Amen. Amen. I want to invite the ushers and I want to invite the prayer team and deacons to come up and have prayer for you if you want to pray. And I want to encourage you to get a handout as you leave today, and see you all Wednesday night. God bless. Have a good one.